The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Well, it was exactly what we have been looking for quite some time. The Bucks were clearly the better team. They showed that for 48 minutes tonight. Little bit of pressure as you enter this matchup facing a team that had lost 22 consecutive games. And I think especially pressure coming when you looked at the results from last night. The Washington Wizards victorious and the San Antonio Spurs snapping an 18-game losing streak as well. So you saw some of those teams that had really been going through it recently finding ways to win last night. The Bucks made sure that did not happen tonight, a 32-point win over the Detroit Pistons, leading basically all the way here for the Bucks. And again, we can point to the fact that the Pistons are not a very good offensive team. There are a lot of areas that the Pistons struggle with, certainly as a team that's 2-24 now on the season. But sooner or later, you just needed to see this Bucks team play like this. Play like the better team, go out and dominate an inferior opponent, and show no let-up. And that's what we saw tonight from this Bucks squad. Not for the first time, but it's been very rare this season, and now you hope that this is a sign with this last week and how this team has looked in these games, that they're starting to move closer and closer to that version of the Bucks. 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk, as the Bucks now 18-7 on the season. So again, it's not to say everything has been figured out. Everything is starting to peak now. The Bucks have hit that chemistry, have found that chemistry, and they've started to hit their stride. There's still going to be downs, and this is still going to be a lengthy process for this team to really round into form and turn that corner. But all things considered, with all the change that this group has been through, with all the issues they faced early defensively, with the fact that Adrian Griffin has said, look, I'm finding more and more areas that I'm impressed with. I'm happy with what I'm seeing defensively from this squad. You go back to that Pacers game, and you may look at the overall point scored. The Pacers do that against a lot of teams, right? But as Griff said, we changed up our coverages in the second half. And once we did that, I felt like we were a much better team. Tonight, you were clearly playing an inferior opponent, especially in the offensive end. But the defense was very clean, and you couldn't really point to a whole lot of breakdowns. There were some in the second half, but it was so important, and Griff talked about this in his postgame. First 5 minutes of this game were critical. He told that to us before the game. The first 5 minutes are going to be critical. You cannot take any opponent lightly in this league. NBA players are NBA players for a reason. It's still a talented group. Any team, regardless of your record, you have an immense amount of talent on your roster. So we can't come in here and take this team lightly or look past them. We have to be prepared. We need to know what to expect. And those first 5 minutes are critical for reasons I think you would point to. Is a lot of times you'll hear this in college games, in the NCAA tournament, in that, look, when you're placing that underdog, don't let them hang around. The longer that goes on, the more they start to believe we can do this. That's not the case here, but the more the crowd gets into it, right? But the more the players start to believe we can do this and things start to fall their way, the more the pressure goes on you. And look, we're comparing single elimination games to one regular season game, but I do think it's apropos when you point to that losing streak. And regardless of what any player would tell you, nobody wants to be on the team that lost to a team that's on a 22-game losing streak. And the longer this streak goes for the Pistons, the more pressure there's going to be on those opponents if you're the team that loses to the Pistons before they get to that record or after they get to that record. So he said, Griff said, the first 5 minutes of this game tonight were going to be critical. He repeated that after the game because that's exactly how the Bucks approached it. They never let up tonight. And all of those areas we pointed to where you cannot give an underdog an advantage. Second chance points, transition points, turnovers, three-point shooting. The Bucks dominated most of those, and they won all of them. 855-616-1620. The old National Bank Talk and Text Line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk as the Bucks cruise past the Houston Rockets. And now hit the home stretch of this six-game homestand. Tomorrow they welcome in the Houston Rockets. They cruise past the Detroit Pistons tonight. They welcome in the Houston Rockets tomorrow night. We'll preview that Rockets matchup and share some more thoughts on this win over the Pistons after this on Bucks Talk. 146-114, our final here. The Bucks dominate the Detroit Pistons. And they've won their first three games now of this six-game homestand. Longest homestand of the season for the Bucks. This has been a good week. It started with the, man, another overtime game against the Chicago Bulls. And more of the chatter that we just mentioned in the last segment of why are the Bucks needing overtime or all of these clutch situations to beat some of these inferior opponents. It started with that chatter. And then you had the Indiana Pacers, who, if you did not have that game a week ago in the in-season tournament, who knows if that game was as emotionally charged as it was. I think that loss in the semifinals added a lot to the environment that we saw on Wednesday night against the Pacers. If we're just talking about one game earlier this season that Damian Lillard did not play in, by the way, that's the only performance in the Bucks lose, I don't think you see this team come out with as much of an edge looking to get their stick back, as Damian Lillard said, and looking to basically send a message to who they likely view as the little brother in the Central Division. But that was a nice win. Your offense was certainly prolific and efficient, and as Adrian Griffin said, the defense made adjustments after halftime, and with those adjustments, what they did from that point forward is what impressed Adrian Griffin the most. Look, nobody's going to hold. I shouldn't say nobody, but you don't expect to hold the Indiana Pacers to 100 points. You expect a lot of scoring when you play that team. But some of the adjustments and the coverage changes that the Bucks made, we've seen a lot of that throughout the course of this season. In the second half of games, this team has just been much better. And I think we saw that against the Indiana Pacers. Then you had this dominant win tonight. And now it's going to be very interesting tomorrow because that is a frisky Houston Rockets team that is coming to town. Currently sixth in the Western Conference. They could be fifth when the game takes place tomorrow. Ime Udoka is certainly a very good coach. We saw that in Boston with the Celtics. There is talent on that team. And they added some vets around those young guys as well to try to win now. Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks, the big additions. Alperen Şengün has been terrific this season. So watching Şengün versus Brooke Lopez, who, oh, by the way, the Rockets tried their hardest to lure in the offseason. That should be fun to monitor tomorrow. But that should be a very, very intriguing game. For the Bucks, you were able to get rest for Giannis and Damian Lillard, and of course Chris Middleton not playing tonight. So that bodes well for this Bucks team tomorrow night. But we mentioned how this team has looked in the clutch quite a bit this season. We mentioned how good they've been in fourth quarters. But the other thing we have mentioned quite commonly is some of these numbers for the Bucks in games played since November 3rd, after the first four games of the season. When the Bucks were playing a much different defensive style, November 3rd, the game against the Knicks, that's when it all changed. And that's when they went back to that traditional drop, or more of the traditional drop, at least for Brook Lopez. And the defense clearly looks different since then. Since that date, the Bucks have gone 16-5. Their 16 wins is tied with the Minnesota Timberwolves for the most wins in the league from that point forward. The Timberwolves have the best record at 16-3, but the Bucks have the second best record at 16-5. Better than the 15-5 Boston Celtics, better than the 14-6 Philadelphia 76ers, better than the 13-8 Denver Nuggets. Bucks offensive rating is 121.6. That is 0.2 of a point per 100 possessions behind the 76ers, who are second, and basically 3 points per 100 possessions behind the Indiana Pacers, who are first. But defensively, they have a 114.7 defensive rating. That is 14th in the league. And we keep pointing out that area because, realistically, that should be the goal. If we're looking at season-long metrics, you certainly look to improve in that back half of the season and certainly as the playoffs progress. But if you can give me a league average, slightly better than league average defense going into the postseason with the notion of our young guys, two of which we saw tonight that I do want to get to coming up next, our young guys are going to continue to get those reps and get better. This team, the chemistry, the switching that we've done, the different coverages that we do, that takes time and repetition. The more that we've done it, the better they've got at that, and that's only going to increase once we get more of those reps in the postseason. All of those things are what you're looking for. If you can have a defense that's right around league average, slightly better, and the offense that sits where it is, essentially second best in the league, that should be a recipe for success, because this isn't the old NBA days when so many years we used to point to you need a top 10 defense. It's not to say you can have a bad defense, but it used to be you had to have a top 10 defense if you were going to win an NBA championship. We've seen that start to crack a little bit in recent years. Lower in those top 10, and then last year the Denver Nuggets, who are outside of the top 10, it's become much more of an offensive league. You can't be bad defensively. You can't be in the bottom 10, but you can probably be somewhere around the middle of the pack if your offense is elite and if it is especially good in the half court. And we have seen this Bucks offense play elite so far this season, and they're getting better and better in the half court. It's not just Damian Lillard either. We'll get to more of that after this as well. 855-616-1620 is the old National Bank talk and text line. The young guys, the sparks the Bucks got from Marjon Beauchamp and Andre Jackson Jr. We'll take a look after this on Bucks Talk. Dominant win tonight for the Bucks, who take down the Pistons by 32 points, 146 to 114. The Detroit Pistons have now lost 23 consecutive games, and the Bucks sit at 18-7. On the season. 855-616-1620 is the old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and catch up with Will I Am. What's going on tonight, Will?
Hey, Justin. You know, what a nice early game, and what a beatdown. Another Bucks beatdown. Wow. Back-to-back 140-plus nights from our boys, pushing it hard, pushing the ball up, and still having the will and want to keep scoring, something I'm really into, and, you know, not taking the foot off the gas. But I got two, maybe three points here. The first point I want to make is incredibly impressed that our head coach, Dr. Griffin, is allowing, you know, Ajax and the rest of the team to get their time to shine and rewarding them big. And seeing him get slid into the starting lineup tonight was a treat. And then being able to see all the counterparts on the bench pretty much just tee off and, you know, get them in rhythm, it looks really good, man. And compared to times when we would struggle from our bench, to see them clicking and connecting on all cylinders, really big plus in my book. The next 2 points here, a quick one. Man, Detroit, that's just never good. 23 in a row to lose. Oh, boy. Mentally, I would be drained. I feel atrocious and hope they get a win. Obviously, not against us, but, you know, never a good look. And then lastly, Justin, a question for you. Again, why do the refs hate Brook Lopez? It seems like this season, this man could be standing across the court and, you know, they'll still try to get a foul on him. Or even if he pleads his case, he gets a technical. Do they not love him? We love this guy. It's hard to watch at times that, you know, players can say whatever they want to the ref, and, you know, Brook Lopez just wants an explanation and then gets teed up. So what's your thoughts on that, Justin? Curious?
I think, part of it, too, is Brook Lopez has never, how would you put it, never met a call that he hasn't disagreed with, whatever the whistle. Brooks' reaction to the whistle is one of the best parts to see of any foul. Look, he's a tough guy to officiate, too, I think, just because of how good he is around the rim. And, you know, we've seen so many. It does. I'll say this, though, Will. It does seem like we've seen fewer this year. And granted, we're only a quarter of the way through the season. But you think back to last year, especially, how many times did Brook cleanly contest a shot or get a block, and he's whistled for the foul when there was no contact or very, very limited? It seems like on a per-game basis, that has at least dropped. I am going to be curious to see, because I'm sure it's something that other coaches are going to start chirping to the officials about, Brook getting called for moving screens, if that starts to increase as the season progresses, especially as Damian Lillard starts to move more and more into his comfort zone. Because, you know, Brook's screen setting, not just this year, but especially this year, has been standout. When you think about the shots he creates for Damian Lillard, those are the two best guys in the two-man game so far this season, is when Brook and Dame are playing together. And the same with Malik Beasley, too. The shots that he's able to walk into because of the screen setting of Brook Lopez. So that would be the one thing I'm curious to see, if we see some other coaches start to politic of, hey, you know why the Bucks get so many open looks? Because Brook isn't really set, and we start to see those calls spike.
Right. One of my biggest fears is that I feel for the last few years, he has always been a target of the moving screen. This man could stand still, and somehow, some way, if the player, you know, bounces off him or sometimes even runs right into him to get the sell, to get that moving screen, I know that really just gets under his skin. And I just wish that they would let the contact just allow a little bit. I know it's an unstoppable pick and roll with Dame and Brooke. And then when you get Giannis going backdoor on the screens from Brooke, that's a lot of problems. And I can see why people want the whistles. But when you watch some of these replays, and like you said, little to no contact, and then when the fouls are called, sometimes in the third, deep in the fourth, potentially can change the flow of the game. So I'm just hoping that he does settle his feet, you know. Again, no hurry here if you know you're that good and that tall. And I just want our boy to win, you know?
I do. And look, that's what we got tonight. And as I said, I think you agree too, they haven't figured everything out. It's still a work in progress, but you're starting to see more steps in the right direction. I still think this is going to be past Christmas Day. This is probably going to be into January before you really get the sense of, okay, now this team is, that chemistry is there, they've figured it out, and we've seen a much, much more consistent Bucks group. But we're at least in this last week especially, we're at least starting to see a lot more steps in that direction.
Agreed. And you and I both think it's going to be 40-plus games before you can actually make a statement on the coaching. But I'm loving the improvements every game. You know, every game has its ups. Every game has its downs. And when the ups are up, man, you can really see this team clicking and connecting. And again, I can't stress this enough, the use of our bench early in the season is going to give them all sorts of confidence and hope along the run in the playoffs. And when we can have from an 8-man roster up to an 11, 12-man roster in the playoffs, these teams better watch out, Justin. Go Bucks, man.
Yeah, thanks for the call. And look, I still think that yesterday was the 15th, which is the unofficial start of trade season. And it's only a matter of time before we start to get the calls of, who do you think the Bucks can get? Who are their targets? Could the Bucks add this player? I'm never going to say never, and especially when we've seen John Horst do some of the things that he has done year after year. He gets Damian Lillard this offseason. I know we all wanted Damian Lillard, and we all said, on paper, this makes sense. This would be a great pairing of Dame with Giannis, but how many of us thought that was realistically a shot with the assets that the Bucks had and what we assume the Miami Heat were offering for Damian Lillard? You think back to other trades. P.J. Tucker was another one. Makes a lot of sense. What do we have that the Rockets would be interested in? Could I interest you in a pair of DJs in Wilson and Augustine? And a whole bunch of second-round picks, granted. The George Hill trade on a much lesser scale. That was, Sam Decker and Jason Smith, I believe, and draft picks that you trade for George Hill. Year after year, John Horst has done this. Drew Holiday, let's go back to that trade. That was the first, hey, this is the guy that would make a whole lot of sense and fix a lot of these issues for the Bucks. How do we get him? What do we have in terms of assets that the New Orleans Pelicans would be interested in? What about contracts? What about this player? What about their timelines? Just didn't seem like that was going to be a perfect fit, and time again, John Horst has found a way to make it work. So I'm not going to say they can't do anything, but I would caution you, it's going to be very difficult because, number one, where the Bucks are at in terms of their cap situation, they're one of those, I think, seven or eight teams that we have. You cannot take back 125% as most teams do in trades. You can only take back 110% because of where you are in the salary cap. You also can't aggregate salaries because you're in that second apron. So it's not like we can take this $4 million contract and this $4 million contract. And by the way, the Bucks don't even have a lot of those. That their contracts are set up as basically max contracts and rookie contracts, veteran minimum type of contracts. There's not a whole lot of those in-between deals. It's going to be tough for the Bucks to pull off anything coming up to the deadline because of those things, you know, because of the aggregation factor, because of the amount of salary that you can actually take back in regard to what you're sending out, because they don't have as many second-round picks as they've had, because you basically, if you're looking at what can we trade in terms of first-round picks, start in 2030. It starts in that decade, in the 2030s, where the Bucks can actually move some of those picks. That's how far down the road they've kicked the can. So those assets have dwindled one by one. John Horst has made a lot of incredible deals. This could be the toughest one yet. Not any specific player, just anything in general. With everything that's been put against the Bucks and all those other teams, not just the Bucks, all those other teams that are in that second apron, the Phoenix Suns. You think about what they've done with their contracts, right? That's the spot that the Bucks are going to be in. So, long story short, I bring this up because it's inevitable for us to get calls and reactions to certain players, or what player do you think the Bucks should trade for? And I think the reality is, for the Bucks to make any type of move like that, or if you're looking at who can we bring in terms of an impact wing player that can help us in the postseason, the highest possible outcome is you develop Marjon Beauchamp and Andre Jackson Jr., and those are the guys that give you that impact, and maybe not necessarily anybody you acquire that isn't currently on the roster. Speaking of those two guys, impactful performances tonight for both Jackson and Beauchamp, and we saw it in different areas. We'll talk about their performance after this on Bucks Talk. Dominant win tonight for the Bucks, who improved to 18-7 and send the Pistons to their 23rd consecutive defeat. Look, it was important to win this game because you don't want to be the Lakers and the team that allows a long losing streak to come to an end. Lakers losing to the Spurs last night. And that's the other interesting part is, had the Lakers won that game and had the Pelicans won tomorrow, you would have the San Antonio Spurs coming to town on a 20-game losing streak on Tuesday. So you would have the potential of facing two opponents in three games that had a losing streak of 20 games or more. So this was important to not be that team that lost to the team that loses a lot of games. But this Pistons team, look, Detroit has been through a lot. I feel for Pistons fans. And, you know, I was struck by Monty Williams before the game as well, because he was asked by Melanie Ricks about what has he learned about himself with this season, that it's been a struggle. It has been a difficult season. I think nobody envisioned, or I shouldn't say nobody, not a whole lot of people envisioned the Pistons would be a team in the play-in tournament or contending for that. But I don't think you looked at this Pistons team and said, well, clearly the worst team in basketball. They're going to have a 20-plus game losing streak. And, you know, Monty Williams was kind of taken aback by it and said, I'd have to think about that in what I've learned about myself, but added, when you go through this, when you go through tough times, things just start to become more real. And I've been through some tough stuff in my life. This is not that, but this is basketball, difficult things. You know, Monty Williams, well documented what he went through when he was with the Oklahoma City Thunder, and he tragically lost his wife in an automobile accident. But said, you know, I think what I've kind of started to learn about myself through this and through everything else I've been through, but this year especially, is I am pretty good at kind of blocking out the noise, filtering out the noise and the outside views, what you'll hear about, what you'll hear from people about our team. I don't really concern myself with that. I don't listen to the outside noise. My focus has been even more streamlined on protecting of our guys because I know how bad they want it and what they try to do every day. And I guess one of the other things I've learned is, and I went through this to a lesser extent with the Phoenix Suns, is when you're a young guy especially, and you're a part of a team like this, and the Bucks can attest to this, Giannis can attest to this, Chris Middleton can attest to this, John Horst can attest to this. When you're a young player, any player, but especially a young player, that's on a team like this, early in your career, you realize, I never want that again. So whatever I can do that makes sure I don't go through that, that's what I'm going to do. You think for the Bucks, the bottoming out was that 15-win season. You make a coaching change the next season. You make the playoffs that season under Jason Kidd, and you become a perennial playoff team. A lot of that has to do with the ascension of Giannis. But Jason Kidd played a pretty big role in Giannis's growth early on in his career. But you had the right mix of guys that were growing together. They went through some very, very tough, trying times in a basketball sense with that 15-win season, and it hardens you, and it makes you better. And I think Monty Williams, with some of his comments, alluded to that as well, of, look, sometimes the only way through it, sometimes the only way to get out of it is to go through it, right? Like, you have to go through those tough times to make you better and realize we can't go through this again. We can't do that again. Whatever route we can take that doesn't end up there, that's what we're going to do. And I think that's where this Piston team is currently at. So certainly a tale of two teams heading in separate directions tonight. And tomorrow, in any other year, I think we would have said the same thing. Most recent years, we would have said the same thing. But that is not the case with tomorrow's opponent, the Houston Rockets. We'll take a look at that matchup and get back to that conversation about Marjon Beauchamp and Andre Jackson Jr. after this on Bucks Talk. Ain't no way they can stop me now, daddy, 'cause I'm on my way. 146 to 114, the final. The Bucks match their season high with 146 points. It's the fourth time this season the Bucks have scored 140 points or more. And unfortunately for the Pistons, it is the 23rd consecutive loss. So tomorrow you got the Houston Rockets coming to town, another back-to-back for the Bucks. We'll get to that in just a moment. But as we mentioned a couple of times, number one, we should point out, you got the return of Pat Connaughton. And I thought Pat Connaughton looked good tonight. 12 minutes, limited minutes, but he gave you 6 points. Knocked down a three-pointer, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. And, you know, we had mentioned repeatedly the bench production took a bit of a step backward the past couple of weeks. Your defense, you started to see these growth, right? This growth. And then a couple of steps backward. I think Pat Connaughton's absence and Jay Crowder especially, those are two big reasons for both. Not having those guys on your second unit and not having some of that versatility for both of those players on your defense. But you got one of those pieces back. The other you hope is back in 3 weeks to a month in Jay Crowder. But without Chris Middleton and Malik Beasley, you still got 65 points from your bench in a game where Andre Jackson Jr. and Marjon Beauchamp were both inserted into the starting lineup. And if we go back to that game on Wednesday against the Pacers, one of the turning moments of that game was in the first half when both of those players were on the floor together. That's when the Bucks defense was starting to hound Tyrese Halliburton a little bit more, causing some more havoc and turnovers, getting into transition, and they beat the Pacers at their own game. They were the ones getting on the fast break, scoring in transition. Andre Jackson Jr. and Marjon Beauchamp teaming up and converging were a big part of that. And those are two guys that when they're on the floor together just seem to feed off each other. Those are two of the guys that have really taken to this defensive system quite well. And look, it's no surprise. We talked about this earlier in the season, too, when we mentioned the young guys look pretty good in this system, or at least better than some of the veteran players. It's the only system they know for the most part, and those are the guys that have went that have played through this in summer league, in training camp, and in open gym, more so than the other guys. But that's really starting to come together for both of these players. I think with Andre Jackson Jr., the one thing is you got to harness some of that energy. Because we saw once again tonight, four personal fouls. That has been an issue for Andre Jackson Jr. so far this season, is staying out of foul trouble. He does it with his aggression. The energy that he plays with, he is just trying to make a play. But it's something you pick up on with more reps and more time in the league of maybe this is a play I shouldn't make just yet. You know, we talked about that foul he had on the attempted chase down, and I believe it was Bogdanović. You want to commend it. He didn't quit on the play. But also, we know Andre Jackson Jr. is drawn the whistle quite a bit. Maybe that's one you can do without, and I think that's going to come with time. But they both scored in double figures. They both attacked the glass, too. 8 rebounds for Jackson, 3 from Beauchamp. I was impressed especially by Marjon and the job that he did rebounding the basketball tonight. They just played with an energy. And we mentioned this before the game. It was going to be imperative to match the energy that a young Pistons team brought. I know they were playing on night 2 of a back-to-back, but it's still a young team. And slow starts in the first quarter have habitually been an issue for the Bucks this season. It was going to be imperative to match the energy of a younger team, not get off to a slow start, not allow this team to linger around and hang around just as we saw in that first matchup. And again, as Griff pointed to, you know, we can look at the box score and we can see the Bucks won by 2 against the Pistons. What was going on there? But it was shaping up to be a much different game before Giannis gets ejected for that questionable second technical foul. But the importance of matching that energy, bringing more energy than the Pistons, and making sure this wasn't a close game. We don't want to give Detroit hope. We want to put them away early and not let them hang around. Marjon Beauchamp and Andre Jackson Jr. were both big pieces in that with what they brought to this team. 5 points in the first quarter for Jackson. Beauchamp scored 9. He scored the first 7 points of the game for the Bucks. It's a huge step forward for both of these players because we've seen some inconsistencies from Marjon, I thought, defensively. And again, I know this isn't a good Pistons offense. Defensively, this was the best we'd seen Marjon Beauchamp look in quite some time. And you know what to expect from Andre Jackson Jr. So if you can continue to harness that and develop that with those two young guys, I still believe that is going to be your best path forward in terms of improving the defense. That and getting these pieces back. Pat Connaughton today, Jay Crowder in the near future. Tomorrow night, the Houston Rockets come to town. It is a 6 o'clock tip-off here at Fiserv Forum. 5:30 is when our pregame coverage begins with me and Dave Kane. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. It's a good Rockets team, currently at 6th in the Western Conference. It should be a fun one tomorrow night for the Bucks and the Houston Rockets. We'll talk to you then with more Bucks Talk.